Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. Woodstove emission reduction devices are the subject of two ordinances up for public hearing at a Fairbanks North Star Borough Assembly meeting tonight. One measure would define the devices, including stack-mounted electrostatic precipitators in the borough's air quality code as means of exempting a wood-fueled appliance from local burn bans. The other would provide $500,000 for a device testing program. Borough Mayor Chief of Staff Jim Williams describes the devices as another potential means of reducing fine particulate pollution.
You keep working at it as a community, and this is an idea, and we're going to see how far we can run with it.
Also up for public hearing at tonight's assembly meeting is an ordinance that would reschedule an annual land foreclosure sale. The sale, originally set to take place August 25th, was postponed after alleged threats to borough staff from a resident who challenged their authority to foreclose on land and owner has failed to pay property taxes on. Williams says properties that fall 3 years behind on taxes are foreclosed upon and put up for sealed bid auction.
As soon as we get a bid, the highest bid that meets the criteria that we need, we'll enter a contract with the new owners, and that's it. We're done. And then if we don't get it done, and the closed bid portion of it will go to an auction.
The ordinance before the assembly sets September 25th as the date for sealed bids to be opened. Another ordinance up for public hearing tonight would provide $50,000 to investigate the potential of building a community recreation facility with Fort Wainwright. Alaska's only state-run psychiatric hospital is an unsafe place to work. Alaska Public Media reports that's the finding of a report by an independent investigation commissioned by the state of Alaska. At a press conference in Anchorage yesterday, Attorney General Jonna Lindemuth said the state took up troubling allegations about the facility last March.
To look at concerns of workplace safety and claims of retaliation at Alaska Psychiatric Institute, API.
The state hired a private law firm to investigate three main issues: whether API employees are safe at work, whether there is retaliation by management against employees, and if the facility is a hostile work environment. Attorney Bill Evans wrote the report after conducting confidential interviews with current and former staff, as well as reviewing past surveys and investigations of API. As recently as last year, state labor officials found a number of safety violations at the facility. Evans' own conclusion is that several factors make it dangerous to work at API.
So I focused my report primarily on finding those underlying reasons that may be affecting safety in the workplace, things that could be controlled perhaps by the administration.
The report cites nearly a dozen factors hindering employee safety. They include problems with scheduling, inadequate training for entry-level employees, insufficient programming for patients, no intensive care unit, and a lack of consequences for patients who physically assault staff. Evans also investigated claims of retaliation against employees who raise safety concerns, and that API is a hostile work environment. He did not find sufficient evidence that either charge is happening in a systematic way, though conceded there are individual incidents that might have contributed to that perception. By some measures, API has roughly half the number of beds that the state needs. Department of Health and Social Services Commissioner Valerie Davidson says more than a decade ago, when the facility was built, the intent was to replace institutional care with community-based resources. But Davidson says that hasn't happened.
Anytime you have a demonstrated need of 160 beds and you instead end up with a facility that has 80, it's just a matter of time before those problems are going to come to the forefront.
Davidson says her department and the Walker administration are taking a number of immediate steps to improve the situation. They're raising wages for nurses to make the job competitive with nearby hospitals. They're also partnering with other state entities to examine how to fund more treatment beds. If the Walker administration remains in place after the November election, it will make new requests for legislative funding for facility improvements, more staff positions, and more treatment spots. The U.S. military intercepted Russian warplanes off the west coast of Alaska Tuesday, the second time this month that American fighter jets have scrambled to intercept Russian aircraft that approached U.S. airspace around Alaska. A news release issued yesterday by the North American Aerospace Defense Command says two F-22 Raptors intercepted two Tu-95 Russian Bear bombers and two Su-35 Flanker jets at around 6 p.m. Tuesday, Alaska time. The NORAD news release says the F-22s were scrambled because the Russian aircraft had entered the Alaskan Air Defense Identification Zone. Aircraft often enter the zone because it's international airspace, but warplanes are met and accompanied through the Alaskan zone by fighters, usually based out of Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson. The J-Bear F-22s previously scrambled on September 1st to intercept two Russian Bear bombers. The Fairbanks North Star Borough School District has a new chief operations officer. It's a homecoming for Andy DeGraw, who grew up and attended school in Fairbanks. KUAC's Robin reports.
With a prior career in personal finance, Andy DeGraw switched to school finance about 10 years ago. He has spent the last 8 years as a school district business manager in Wyoming. But he grew up in Fairbanks, attending Joy, Barnett, Tanana Middle, and Lathrop High Schools. He says he didn't return to Fairbanks just for the job. He has a stake in efficient, high-performing schools.
I have four kids, so that's important to me. 14, 12, 9, and 7, all through the system, elementary, Weller and Tanana and Lathrop. So they're going to all the same schools I went to when I was growing up, so it's kind of a neat thing.
He's only been at the job for a month, and DeGraw is still learning how each department in the district functions. He says the job of COO has evolved. He credits his predecessor, Lisa Pierce, with making many changes to improve the performance of the departments of the school district. He wants to follow her example.
Transportation, food services, technology, human resources, accounting, purchasing, a lot of different areas. I'm already seeing areas where we can continue that momentum.
He knows with fewer oil dollars in recent years, funding from the state of Alaska has been cut back. But he says lack of funds should not be an excuse for sloppy operations.
Operationally, I want to set the district up to where we can provide a quality and product to students regardless of whether times are good or whether things are kind of tight, which they are now.
DeGraw says he's always working on improving transparency and communication. This week, he's recruiting parent and community volunteers to sit on the district's budget committee, which has its first meeting September 26th. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
Solar activity is increasing the likelihood of active aurora. University of Alaska Fairbanks Emeritus Professor of Physics and longtime aurora forecaster Charles Deer says this week's activity is one of two mechanisms that drive the aurora.
The first are these huge outbursts that we get during the solar maximum. Now we're on our way down to the minimum. We have the other method, what we call coronal holes. These are high-speed streams of particles that come out from the sun, and it looks like a great big garden sprinkler.
Deer says one hole occurred on Monday the 10th, and computer modeling predicts a second on the 13th or 14th. Deer stresses aurora over any region hinge on timing.
Sometimes there's a lot of activity, but it's all over on, say, the other side of the Earth. Our time zone for active aurora is 9 to 12 universal time, the three-hour period where we're at magnetic midnight.
Alaska's magnetic midnight, when the magnetic North Pole is between us and the sun, is between 1 a.m. and 4 a.m. Deer says the current coronal hole activity will continue to increase likelihood of aurora over the next 4 to 5 days. I'm Dan Bross.